Before we start, Strange Circle is a narrative podcast, best listened to in sequential order. So if this is your first time, why not go back to episode 1? Enjoy the show.
Saturday, the 27th of April, 2019. Is it possible to catch madness? Can it be like a disease, able to pass from one person to another? I think yes. The first time I saw the man, truly beheld him face to face, I could see utter chaos behind his eyes. I was at the kitchen sink, just looking out into the garden, really. And then something caught my eye to my right. I turned to see him piling in through the back door, and instead of being afraid, I felt relief. Sign of madness number one. Abnormal reaction to a dangerous situation. All of my paranoia over the past week had been justified. The phone calls to the police and to my mother. My obsessive thoughts about how to escape my house. In that moment, it was not terror that I felt. I felt relief. That he had finally shown his face, that he had finally played his card. I had thought the kitchen a dead end, nowhere to go but into the back garden, which you could not access from the front of the house. I had not considered that he would enter from there. As he lunged at me, I simply ran towards the front door. I was more than halfway there when I heard him crash into the wall. I was out of the house and knocking on my neighbor's door in a flash. I saw him running up the road from their bay window. All done and dusted, I thought. The police will catch him now, I thought. I had seen his face, so he'd become less of a bogeyman and more of a tangible threat. That's why I coped with his second intrusion so well. After the police had come and gone, statements made and one apology given by them to me, if you can believe that, after all of that, I was having a much-needed cigarette in the garden. I was standing there, looking towards the house opposite, and turned to stab out the smoke, and there it was. A long blue bag, just lying there, underneath the kitchen window. It took me only 2 seconds to figure out who had left it there. Without any forensic thought, I picked it up and carried it into the house. I was standing in the hallway, my mobile phone in one hand and the bag in the other, about to call the police again. A movement in the kitchen snatched at my focus. I looked, and for a second, thought I was hallucinating. It was him, the man. He was peering in at me from the garden. I dropped the bag and the phone and ran straight into the living room. The brass fireside set had been a gift from my mother when she'd heard I was moving into a house that still had a working chimney. I blessed her as I grabbed the poker and moved cautiously back into the hallway. He was bent over the bag, his back mostly towards me. I raised the poker and brought it down on the side of his head. He crumpled. Sign of madness number two. Violent tendencies with no feelings of remorse.
Hello, Derek Dunning.
Hello, Derek. It's Hilly here.
Oh, hi, Hilly.
How's life been treating you?
You know, the usual. The show takes up most of my time.
Oh, yes, your show. I was wondering if I could be on again.
Oh, right. Of course. I'm sure we can sort something out. Let me get Deborah to give you a call with my calendar, okay?
Derek, I'm sure you're capable of working out when I can be on. I'll wait if you want to check.
I'm not sure there is going to be a good time, Hilly. I'm sorry. We've had a bit of a station rethink about the kind of content that I can promote. There have been some concerns over presenting mediumship as a valid thing.
Well, well, Derek. Are you accusing me of being a fraud?
No, Hilly. Not at all. You know me. I am the archetypal anti-skeptic. I believe it all.
I see. So you don't have a problem with me being on your show?
No, Hilly.
It's the people who run your station.
Yes. They don't want to be accused of misleading the public.
Derek, do you know how easy it is for me to tell when someone is lying?
Sorry, Hilly, I've got to go now. Bye.
Sunday, the 28th of April, 2019. Sign of madness number three. Revenge fantasies. I just spent 30 minutes sitting on my sofa, imagining him, the man, sitting in his jail cell. I still think of him as the man. The police have told me his name, Henry C. Bowles, but that sounds like the name of an accountant or a bank manager, so I can't use that. I can't think of him as a normal person. That would be like betraying myself. So, I imagine the man sitting in his cell, waiting for those brief moments when he can talk to someone from the outside world or get to visit a courtroom. I imagine him driven to self-harm with the sheer boredom of it all. First, he uses the edge of the metal bed to scratch into his arm. I can see it so clearly, the rip of the flesh, and then a wonderful moment of nothingness before the blood seeps up and over the edge. I need to get out, he thinks to himself. He wants to be the blood that is escaping his body. Or I imagine that the police are a little less than hospitable towards him. Maybe one of them has had a sister who was similarly terrorized by a stalker. Maybe she was attacked. This policeman can't get to her attacker. He disappeared without a trace, that he can get to mine. I imagine him going down to the cells late at night, on his own. He's changed his shift on purpose, so he's able to carry out his mission unseen. He knows how to turn off the cameras. He opens the door to the man's cell and sneers at the pathetic thing cowering before him. He aims a kick at his head and follows through like he's kicking a corner in football. I imagine the bruised and bloodless face after this righteous treatment. It makes me feel good. I realize that I've not been feeling good for a long time. I realize that this whole thing has had a profound effect on me. The police gave me the local victim support hotline number, and I think about calling it. But then I don't. Instead, I replay the sight of my mother's brass poker swinging down against the side of his head. I can feel what it does to his skull through the metal. I haven't broken through the bone, but it definitely gives a little. I just spent 30 minutes sitting on my sofa, replaying the moment when I felled an intruder with my mother's brass poker. It made me feel good. Sign of madness number 4. Reliving violent acts over and over again.
Welcome to voicemail. You have 4 unplayed messages. Unplayed message from
Hilly Sanderson. Derek, there's no point screening your calls. I'm trying to understand why you don't want me on your show so suddenly. It's very difficult not to take great offence. I think I maybe know the real reason that you don't want to talk to me. All I can say is that there's nothing to be frightened of. I'm afraid you've had your brain filled with nonsense by that priest. Anyway, I'm going to keep trying to contact you. I feel that it's very important that I can get my messages from beyond to and from as many souls as I can. I hope to speak to you soon.
Unplayed message from
Hilly Sanderson. Hello, Derek. I hope your friend from the church is leaving you alone, Derek. I would like you to hear my side of things, but it seems that you're not going to let me do that. You probably have a thing for priests anyway.
Unplayed message from
Hilly Sanderson. You'd better answer my call soon, or I'll have to do something about it. Did you know I can make people do things? Well, it's not me exactly. But you know that, don't you, Derek? You know my little secret, our little secret. Perhaps you'd rather talk with him.
Unplayed message from
Chop.
You have no more messages.
Monday, the 29th of April, 2019. I was back at work today. Sign of madness, number 5. Carrying on like nothing is wrong. I can't tell you how mundane the world of human resources has become. I'd never thought what a disturbing name that is, human resources. It places the person firmly in the same box as Wi-Fi and photocopier paper. Just something to be used up and discarded, maybe. I was clawing at the walls by 11 a.m. And then, luckily, the police called to provide respite. The fucker had escaped. They were phoning to let me know an officer was on her way over. They apologized again for not contacting me sooner. Apparently, the man left quite a mess behind him. When the officer came, she explained the whole story. One of their own had let him out, and then had promptly been dispatched by the bastard. And they have no idea what happened after that. Not even how he got out of the police station. It took me a while to figure out that the officer was going to stay with me as protection. I didn't think he would try to attack me for a third time, but the thought that he might sent a shiver of excitement down my spine. I won't bother counting the signs of madness anymore. I tried to get her to leave, assure her that I would be okay, that I could take care of myself. But she wasn't having any of it. My boss told me to take the rest of the day off, and frankly, I was out of there before his next sentence. Anything to leave that place. Anything to leave that mundane, grey, pedestrian existence. I hope he comes for me. This time, I will finish him off.
Derek Dunnings,
Hour of the Dead.
Hi there, this is Derek Dunning from the Hour of the Dead. We would like you to get in touch if you have got any spooky stories of things supernatural or paranormal that have happened to you. You can contact us via email at hourofthedead@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can leave us a voicemail on 07307 688 426. And I know we have some international listeners, so that number would be 44-7307 688-426. And I hope to hear from you soon.
Hi there, this is Al Ashworth, creator of the Strange Circle podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and invite you to visit the Strange Circle website for more facts, stories and clues. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would be very grateful if you could rate and review, especially on iTunes. If you're feeling generous, please sponsor me on Patreon. This podcast is a labour of love, and any help you can give is gratefully received. You can find all the information at pod.strangecircle.org. Thanks for listening.
Johnny's heart went pity pity pat somewhere in sunny France. He met a girl by chance with the naughty, naughty glance. He looks just like a kitty, kitty cat. He loves to dance and play. So he learned no French when he left the trench. He knew well enough to say, Wee, Marie, will you do this for me? Wee, Marie, then I'll do that for you. I love your eyes, they make me feel so gloomy. You'll drive me loony, you're teasing me. Why can't we poly boo like other sweethearts do? I want a kiss or two from a cherie. Wee, Marie, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Wee, Marie. They walked along the bully bully body, whispered, you for me. Someday in gay Paris, I will make you marry me. Just then a bunch of bully bully boys threw kisses on the fly. Marie got wise when they rolled their eyes, they sang as they passed her by. Wee, Marie, will you do this for me? Wee, Marie, then I'll do that for you. I love your eyes, they make me feel so spoony. You'll drive me loony, you're teasing me. Why can't we poly boo like other sweethearts do? I want a kiss or two from a cherie. Wee, Marie, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Wee, Marie, wee, Marie, will you do this for me? Wee, Marie, then I'll do that for you. I love your eyes, they make me feel so spoony. You drive me loony, you're teasing me. I cannot learn to speak the Latin, French, or Greek, but I can kiss the cheek of ma chérie. Wee, Marie, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Wee, Marie.